Now we must sanctify our speech here. All right, well, welcome everybody to Hebrew Club. We are ready to start chapter 4 of 2 Samuel, all right? And this is what follows upon the death of Abner, if you will recall. And I also have the first few verses give us a lot of names, place names especially. And so I have a little map so at least you can get a general idea of where the main places are, especially in this first part. It's really kind of discombobulating, actually. So what I've done is I printed up a map, and I'll start passing around, but you can see I've circled the three main places. Hebron is to the south. You'll see that pretty easy. And then the other two places are the lesser-known places that are in red. You can't see them too good, but at least you can see how far they're kind of traveling as they go around, all right? So we're on verse 1. Of chapter 4. Va'yishma ben Shaul ki met Avner bechevron. Va'yirpu yadav v'kol Yisrael nivhalu. All right. Verse 1, and the son of Saul heard. Okay, this is from Shama. And the son of Saul heard. And note, remember, who are we talking about? The son of Saul is Ishbosheth. All right. Now, it's interesting because the Septuagint has Mephibosheth throughout. It gets the names kind of mixed up, all right? And it actually has Mephibosheth in this text. But this is Ishbosheth, who's the son, although he's not named. And that's kind of important for what happens in a couple verses. So we're talking about Ishbosheth, all right? Who, remember, had his capital, you know, as that map's passed around, east of the Jordan River in Mahanaim, which is in the area of Gilead. I don't have it on that map there, but there's quite a distance between Gilead and Hebron. So David was in Hebron, and Ishbosheth was in Mahanaim. Okay. So the son of Saul heard. Now notice, after a verb of perception, you have this key clause, object clause, heard that Abner had died. Mate. Call from moot. Okay. Abner had died in Hebron, in Hebron, all right, and Yirpu Yadav, his hands fell, relaxed. What's the root of Yirpu? Anyone see it? Good, Rapha, Resh, Peh, Hey. The Hey drops off with the vocalic suffixes. And notice you have two Vav clauses, and you might want to translate the first one. When the son of Saul heard that Abner had died, mate, in Hebron, comma, Yadav, Vayirpu Yadav. His hands fell. They grew faint. In other words, that's a biblical idiom. He lost, we would say he lost heart, but boom, he lost his strength. He grew very pale, okay? Because Abner was his general. It's his general. He's the go-to guy. He's the dude. Yeah, all right? And all Israel, now notice this is referring especially to the northern tribes. All Israel, Nivhalu, was dismayed or terrified. This is from the root Bahal, Nifal perfect, third common plural. All right. So, and all of Israel was dismayed or terrified, depending on how you want to translate that. All right. So that verse is fairly easy, and it gets tough here, coming right up. Any questions on verse 1 about syntax or anything? All right. Verse 2. Ushne anashim Sarei Gedudim Hayu ben Shaul Shem Ha'echad Ba'ana V'Shem Ha'Sheni Rechav B'nei Rimon Ha'Be'eroti. Mivnei Binyamin. Okay, I'll stop there. Now the Shene is, notice it's a construct from Shanaim, which means two. And remember, you can put the number two in construct or not. And two men. Sarai, this is from Sar, this is the plural construct, princes or leaders of the Gedudim, leaders of the raiding bands. Remember, a Gadud is a band, a raider. And two men, the leaders of the raiding bands, and now notice the next three words, were son of Saul, which makes no sense, right? So notice you can handle this as an adverbial accusative, as an adjunct. So you have to kind of imagine the preposition lamed there. Okay, were to the son of Saul. All right. Again, you in English you'd say something like, Saul's son had two men, leaders of the bands. Does that make sense? See, so notice again, in Samuel especially, you do not always see the preposition where you want it. Now, whether it has fallen out in the course of transmission or not is hard to say. It's very interesting, again, when you look at I looked this up in both the Septuagint and in Qumran. And Qumran and the Septuagint both have, there was to Mephibosheth, son of Saul. So it gets it mixed up from Ishbosheth and Mephibosheth in both the Septuagint and in the Qumran text there. All right, but the Masoretic text, which we have, doesn't have either one, and the grammar kind of makes it awkward. All right, does everyone understand what's going on here, relatively speaking, so far? All right, now it gives the name of the two men. So Saul, the son of Saul, had two men who were the leaders of the bands. The Shem, that's in construct, Shem Ha'echad. The name of the one, and here's a name, Ba'ana, was Ba'ana. See, you can't tell from the Hebrew it's a name. The Shem, and the name of the Sheni, notice that this is the ordinal number, second one, and the name of the second one was Rechav. So Ba'ana and Rechav are the two characters in the story we're going to read about today. All right. Now it goes on to describe who they were. Sons of Rimmon. Okay. Now that's the name of a guy. It's also the name of a god. It's also the word for pomegranate. So sons of a pomegranate or pomegranatites, if you want to put it that way. But I would stick with Rimmon. So, yeah. Sons of Rimmon. Now notice the next word, the Be'eroti, the Be'erotite. And notice that's the one of the place names that I circled in the tribe of Benjamin there. So it goes into great detail about these two guys. They were Benjaminites. And I think it's because Saul was from the tribe of Benjamin. See, so they identify him as Be'erotites from the children of Binyamin. Again, notice how sons is being used here as a idiom for the Benjaminites, from the Benjaminite tribes, from the people of the Benjaminites. All right. Kigam, for also Be'erot, namely the name of the place, Techashev, is considered. This is a nifal imperfect from chashav, to think, to consider. So nifal, I make it passive, is considered part of all belonging to Benjamin. So it's giving you all this background information about these two guys, which probably should signal they're going to play some part here. So notice that he has two leaders, Ba'ana and Rechav, sons of Rimmon, who was a Be'erotite, which also belonged to Benjamin, because the Be'erotites were considered part of Benjamin. So see, that's what the sentence means. It's going into all this background detail. All right, in verse 3. Now it gives you more detail about this. Va'yivrechu ha-be'erotim gitaima. Okay. Here's barak means to flee. All right. Notice that this is a simple call, imperfect vav consecutive, and the subject is the be'erotim. So the be'erotite people had fled to gitaima, and gitaima was the name of the other place I mentioned. It's on the border of the tribe of Dan and Ephraim there. All right. So it gives you this detail. It makes no sense to me. The Be'erotim people fled to Gitaima. Va Yihyu Sham, and they are there. This is from what root? Va Yihyu? Haya, call imperfect. And they are there as Garim. This is from the root Gur, call participle, masculine plural, used as a substantive, sojourners. And they are there as sojourners. Ad Hayom, up until the day of this one, up until this day. So it gives you this detail about the Be'erotite people that doesn't really have anything to do with the story. It just kind of piles detail on detail. And so notice the narrative, the storyline has totally stopped while you're getting this description of these two guys. All right. Now we're going to get description of another person as well. Okay. Does anyone have any question through verse 3? probably won't be able to answer it, but I'll do my best. All right, but you're getting an idea about the background. So notice how the Hebrew narrative will give you background both with Vav consecutives and without. It's giving you filling in details about these guys. Okay, verse 4. Ve'li Honatan ben Shaul bein Nekeraglam. Now to Jonathan, the son of Saul, there was a bane. There was a son. Okay. To Jonathan, son of Saul, there was a son. Or we would say in English, Jonathan, the son of Saul, had a son. All right. Neke Raglam. Neke, notice that that is from the adjective nake, which is means struck. Someone who, so it's struck in the feet. Notice that it's in construct, like sada becomes sede, naka becomes neke. Same thing. So this is in construct. Struck in raglime. Notice what kind of ending is on raglime? The dual ending. Struck in his 2 feet. What does that mean? Well, he was lame. We'd probably say he's lame in his 2 feet. Now you're going to find out what. Why. Okay? Ben Chamesh, a son of Chamesh, 5 shanim, a son of 5 years. He was, okay, Bevo Shemuat Shaul Vichonatan mi Yisrael, a son of 5 years. So he's 5 years old in the coming of the report of Saul and Jonathan from Jezreel. So Bevo, notice, is a call infinitive construct. The subject is Shemuat, which means report. Notice it's from Shama to hear. And it's in construct with Shaul. So, he was 5 years old in the coming of the report of Saul and Jonathan, mi Yisrael, from Jezreel. What report are they talking about? His death. Remember in the previous book, Saul and Jonathan died in Jezreel. So, notice that this bait with the infinitive is temporal. So, he was 5 years old when the report of Saul and Jonathan came from Jezreel. All right. Va tishaehu omanto. Omanto is from the root amen, which means, number one, to be faithful, but another meaning is to be a caretaker. So this is a feminine, omenet, and his caretaker, va tishaehu, what's the root? Nasa. See the assimilated nun, dagish, preceded by that short vowel? So his caretaker lifted him, vatanos, and she fled. What's the root of tanos? Noose. Notice it's a hollow verb. How do you know? Comets under the tav. So, and she fled, and it happened, bechozza, in her haste to flee. That chofza is an infinitive construct, which means to hasten. So in her, and notice the third feminine singular suffix, in her hastening to flee. Now, so it happened in her hastening to flee. Vayipol. What's the root? Nafal. He fell, and he fell. Vayipaseach. Here's a nifal from pasach. And he became lame. And his name was Mephibosheth. All right, everybody get what happened? So notice how the narrative goes. In verse 4, Jonathan had a son. He was lame in his feet. It gives you that fact. Now notice how it backfills by telling you how he got lame in his feet. And that's a typical occurrence. That's a typical occurrence in Hebrew in which you'll get the bottom line and then the narrator will backfill with the details. And that's what's happening. He was lame in his feet. Now, this is how it happened. He was 5 years old when the news came of Saul. His nurse picked him up, and in her haste, she must have dropped him, and he fell on his feet. See, that's kind of what it's saying in all that detail in verse 4. All right? So now at verse 5, you're through all that, and what the narrator has tried to do, he's had to introduce Ba'ana and Rechav. You haven't heard of him before, and you haven't heard of Mephibosheth before. So in typical Hebrew fashion, you don't get a name without getting anchored to the story somehow. So Ba'ana and Rechav get anchored into the story, and now Mephibosheth has to get anchored into the story. Now you can go on with what happens here. So notice we've had kind of a total stop again in the storyline in these four verses. And you know all the information. Now you can get on. Okay? Okay, so you're going to start with the vav consecutive in verse 5. Any questions through 4 about anything? All right. Okay, verse 5. Vayelaku b'nei Ramon habe'e roti rekav uba'ana. Okay, see? You don't have to repeat this. Vayelaku, what's the root? Halak behaves like a first yud, first year students. You guys see that? And they went, the B'nai Ramon, the sons of Ramon. Now notice what it does. The Bereotite, Rekav and Ba'ana. We already know who they are, but Hebrew just kind of keeps saying it. All right? Vayavo'u, and they entered. Okay, Vayavo'u, and they entered. Kechom Hayom. About the heat of the day, or we would probably say in English, in the heat of the day. So, early afternoon, probably. In the heat of the day, to the Beit, to the house of, here he is, Ishbosheth. To the house of Ishbosheth. So these Be'eriotites had gone over probably to Machanaim in Gilead, across the Jordan, to where Ishbosheth was, in the heat of the day. All right? Now he, and now notice this next clause that starts with who. Vehu shokev et mishkav hatzaharim. And he was lying down on the bed of the zaharim. Zaharim means noonday. On the noonday bed. On his noonday couch. I guess he had a couch, you know, take a nap. You guys all have your favorite couch. You know what he's talking about. After lunch, what do? You hit the couch. I do that, yeah. That's what we're doing. All right? So notice that. So notice how that vehu breaks up the vav consecutive chain, and it becomes kind of a circumstantial clause. Notice it gives you the circumstances. So notice they went, the sons of Rimmon, and they came about the heat of the day to the house of Ishbosheth. Now he was lying on the noonday bed. See how that vehu works? And after giving that detail, it continues breaking up the vav consecutive here in verse 6, okay? Okay, notice the first word, vehena. That's the third feminine plural, the way it's pointed for, and it means them, which makes absolutely no sense here because it's referring to Bahana and Rechav, unless they were a little on the feminine side, lighten the loafers. But they, you guys aren't laughing. I guess. I'm kidding. Golly. Jeez. But notice the Septuagint repoint has a different understanding of as instead of hena, hine, behold, vehine, which makes more sense here. But the Masoretes have a reading tradition of reading as third feminine plural pronoun, vehena. All right. So, but I think every translation is going to go and look. They entered from Bo. See, they entered to the midst, toke of the house. Now, lokeche hitim. That's a lokeche is a call participle, masculine, plural, and construct. Okay, and means to take or to receive. Takers of hitim, takers of wheat. So they entered into the midst of the house, posing as takers of wheat. See, as if they were getting some wheat. All right. Va yakuhu. What's the root? Naka. A hifil from Naka. And they struck him el hachomish. You know that word. And they struck him in the belly. Because remember, that's what Joab did to Abner. The chomesh. Struck him in the belly. Okay. Verekav and Rekav and Ba'ana, his brother, Achiv, his brother, Nimlatu, escaped. Nifal, perfect, third common plural from Malat. All right. So they struck him in the belly. And Rekav and his brother escaped. Okay, now I want you to. So that's the story. Now in 7, it goes back to give you more details. All right. Now notice, because it's going to tell you what else happened, so to speak. Okay. Okay. So verse 7, vayavo'u, and I'm going to translate it. That is to say. So notice a vav consecutive is not always subsequent action. Here in this text, it seems to fill in the details. That is to say, they entered Habait, the house. Vehusho cave, and he was sleeping on mitato. He was sleeping on his couch again. See? So it's reiterating what's already said. Bachadar, in the, that's a, the inner room, okay? In the inner room, mishkavo, of his bed. See? So in the chamber of his bed. We would say in his bed chamber. In his bed chamber. Now, vayakuhu, and they struck him. So we've already known that. Okay? Now it gives more detail. Vayemituhu, from moot, and they killed him. Okay? Now, vayasiru, this is a hifil from sur, and they removed et rosho. I love how it says it. And they removed his head. It doesn't say katav, they cut off or anything. It just says they removed it. Okay. Rosho, yeah. Vayikhu, okay, notice that's from Lakach. And they took Rosho, his head. They took his head. This is like a bad horror movie. Vayelku, halak, see. And they went derek ha'arava, by the Arab, the way of the Araba, towards the desert, in other words. Kol halayla, all the night. So they killed him, they removed his head, but I want you to see syntactically how verse 6 gives the overall summary, how they, that they escaped, and verse 7 fills in the details. In escaping, they actually also took his head and the way they went all night to get out of the territory they were in, and obviously they were traveling southward, and their destination is Hebron. All right, and I'm going to read one more verse, and then we'll stop here. Vayaviu et rosh. Okay, that's a hifil from Bo, and they brought and they brought the head et rosh. Okay, now notice you know what head it is, even though there's no definite article there. I mean, notice it's kind of interesting because you have the et without the definite article. But again, this manuscript in 2 Samuel has these oddities in it. Okay, so they brought the head of Ishbosheth. Okay. Oh, we don't even need it because Ishbosheth is definite. Sorry. So they brought the head of Ishbosheth to David at Hebron. So they brought the head. Vayomru, and they said El Hamelech to the king, Hine, Rosh Ishbosheth. Hine, Rosh Ishbosheth. Look at this. Ben Shaul, Oyeveka, the son of Saul, your enemy, who Bekesh, who sought Nafsheka, who sought your life. Okay? Vayitain, this is from Natan. And Yahweh has given La'adoni to my lord Hamelech, the king, Nekamot. Notice that that's a plural from Nekama, which means vengeance. It's the plural because it's a plural of, I would say, majesty, we would say, great vengeance. He has given the king great vengeance, Hayom Hazeh, this day, from Saul and from Zaro, from his seed. All right? So they're triumphant. And you can guess how David's going to react to seeing the head. But, okay, any questions through verse 8?
Why is there a dagesh in that last word?
Because it's a min that has, remember, the nun has assimilated. So it's min zaro, really. And the nun has come off. Same way there's a dagas in the sha'ul, because that's a min plus sha'ul. All right, good. Any other questions? All right, man. You got your fill of it today. Thank you very much for coming. Yeah,
tense.
I know, there it is. It's great stuff. What's that? Yeah, I don't know.